The singing career of Grammy Award winner Marvin Gaye was cut short tragically 35 years ago on April 1st, 1983. He was shot to death by his own father. And Marvin's best friend David Ritz wrote his biography a year later, and he called it The Divided Soul. Marvin Gaye was indeed a divided soul. He was part artist and part entertainer, part sinner and part saint. His childhood was tormented by the cruelty inflicted on him by his father. In commenting about the effect this had on Marvin, Ritz said of his friend, "He really believed in Jesus a lot, but he could never apply the teachings of Jesus on forgiveness to his father. In the end, it destroyed them both." That story of an unforgiving father and son stands in sharp contrast to the story of the forgiving father and his wayward son that Jesus tells in today's gospel. This is the most well-known story of God's grace ever told. It's heaven's sermon of hope. Jesus tells this parable to illustrate the nature of our Heavenly Father and how people can be restored to a right relationship with God. We call this story the parable of the prodigal son. And the word prodigal means wasteful. But it could also be called the parable of the loving father, because it emphasizes the graciousness of the Father more than the sinfulness of the Son. Jesus began by saying, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me.' And so the loving father honored his son's request, and the boy ran off to a distant country to live what he thought would be a life of luxury. According to Jewish law at the time, it was perfectly legal for the younger son to ask for his share of the estate and even sell it. But it certainly was not a very loving thing to do. It was as though he was saying to his father, 'I wish you were dead, because if you were dead, I'd automatically get the money.'" We're always headed for trouble whenever we value things more than people, pleasure more than duty, and distant scenes more than the blessings we have right here at home. The prodigal son learned the hard way that you cannot enjoy the things that money can buy if you ignore the things that money cannot buy. The younger son dreamed of enjoying his freedom far from home and away from his father and his older brother. He wanted to have his own way, and so he rebelled against his family and broke his father's heart. But life in that distant country, it wasn't what he expected. His resources ran out, his friends left him, a famine came, and the boy was forced to do for a stranger what he would not do for his own father. He went to work. This scene is our Lord's way of emphasizing what sin really does in the lives who reject the Father's will. Sin promises freedom, but it only brings slavery. It promises success, but it brings failure. It promises life, but the wages of sin is death. The boy thought he would find himself, but instead he lost himself. You see, when God is left out of our lives, enjoyment becomes enslavement. Many of us have followed that young man's footsteps. We've gone our own way, indifferent towards the love and grace of God. We've all been there. I've been there as well. We've made decisions and choices that we know our Heavenly Father would not choose for us. we left behind the love of God in exchange for the lies of Satan. The prodigal son knew that no one in his father's house would go to bed without supper at night, and he was dying of hunger. It was at this point that the young man changed his mind about himself and his situation. He came to his senses when he admitted to himself that he was a sinner. He confessed that his father was a generous, gracious, and loving man, and that service at home was far better than so-called freedom in the distant country. It was God's goodness, not just man's badness, that leads us to repentance. If the boy thought only about himself, if he thought only about his hunger and his homesickness and his loneliness, he would have been lost in despair. But his painful circumstances helped him to see his father in a new way, and this brought him hope. If his father was so good to the servants, maybe he would be willing to forgive his son. So he said to himself, I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers. You can see that the will of this young man was turning around. He said, I will get up, I will go, I will say. You see, our resolutions may be noble, but unless we act upon them, they can never bring about any permanent good. Are we willing to get up, to go, and to ask for God's mercy and grace? The prodigal son was, and as a result, his final experience was that of rejoicing. Here's the happy ending to the story. He got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion for him, embraced him, and kissed him. The father honored the boy's homecoming by preparing a great feast and inviting the village to attend. This is the attitude of our Heavenly Father towards sinners who repent. The parable of the prodigal son reveals to us God's true nature and exactly why Jesus taught us to call God Father. Although we're all sinners, He loves us unconditionally, and He wants us back more than anything. No matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, no matter what has happened in the past, it's never too late, because nothing can separate us from His love. Our Father has been waiting patiently, longing for our return, and He wants to welcome us back with open arms. You see, God loves us just the way we are. If you think His love would be stronger if your faith were, you're wrong. If you think His love would be deeper if your thoughts were, you're wrong again. See, don't confuse God's love with the love of people. The love of people often increases with performance and decreases with mistakes, but not so with God's love. You see, God wants only the very best for us, and His love never ceases, never. Though we spurn Him, ignore Him, reject Him, disobey Him, deny Him, and betray Him, He never changes. Our evil can't diminish His love. Our goodness can't increase it. Our faith doesn't earn it any more than our stupidity jeopardizes it. God doesn't love us less if we fail and more if we succeed. Who we are and who we can become are more important to God than anything we've done. Everything the younger son hoped to find in the distant country, he discovered back home. Clothes, jewelry, friends, joyful celebration, but especially love and assurance for the future. What made all the difference in his life? It was saying one thing. It was saying, Father, forgive me. Father, I want to come home. Make me your servant. So let us pray today and every day. Father, forgive us. We have learned our lessons the hard way. Now we have come to our senses and we want to do your will. Father, take from us all that continues to separate us from you, pride, greed, and selfishness. Increase in us all that brings us closer to you, humility, patience, and selfless love. Amen.